Have you made a lot of money out of your music?
Money? I mean, how much is a lot of money to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Have you made, say, millions of dollars?
No.
Are you a rich man?
What do you mean rich? What do you mean?
Do you have a lot of possessions? A lot of money in the bank?
Position make you rich? I don't have that type of richness. My richness is life, forever.
This is episode 181, and I'm your host, Miguel. All of the content that you hear on this podcast episode is Creative Commons license. Great to be back podcasting again. Unfortunately, I've only been uploading an episode a month, as you know, for those who listen. But I'm going to try to get back to a regular schedule of uploading, you know, at least once a week. So in this episode, it's going to be really interesting. We're going to turn the clock back to the mid to late 1800s, which is kind of a foundational time for this whole one world government that they're trying to impose on us, back to Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto and these types of authors. So the author that we're going to discuss today actually influenced Karl Marx, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, or Lenin. You know, he influenced a lot of these diabolical thinkers. And the author's name is Gustav Le Bon. The name of the book is The Crowd, and the subtitle is A Study of the Popular Mind. Now, one of the reasons why this book is so important, and I literally just, when I went to do the episode this morning, as I do a lot of times, I'll just kind of, you know, work through the muse. In other words, I'll go online and look for something that is relevant for the time that we're in, and I'll go on it. You know, another thing that I also try to do is there's a term, it's called evergreen, like in podcasting and in such types of media. And the meaning evergreen means that you can go back and listen to these episodes 10 years later and they're still totally relevant, as opposed to speaking about Fauci or an individual or a situation where it kind of outdates, and when you hear it, you know, a few months later, it's kind of already outdated and it's really not interesting. So that's why I kind of do it in this manner, because I can get inspired or find something that I feel really relevant that people need to know about. And I came upon this author this morning. I really didn't know. He, very influential, like I said, to diabolical people of the past. So The Crowd, okay? So that's literally where we find ourselves today, okay? And you can insert, you know, The Crowd. You can insert CNN and Fox News and ABC, NBC, MSNBC, the New York Times, and whatever, insert here, you know, whatever media platform of your choice. Because basically, the media, or the corrupted media, they're pulling the puppet strings that control the crowd. So what Le Bon was expounding was that the importance of getting everybody into one crowd, one group think, where they're going to be afraid of rejection from the crowd, where they're going to be looking for acceptance for the crowd, and the people that are controlling the crowd are going to do the thinking for you, so they can make your life nice and easy. You don't have to contemplate anything, you don't have to think, you don't have to read books or do research, just, you know, get spoon-fed whatever the media puppet masters want you to think, right? And basically that's it. And that's how they control the whole planet and the whole society, because they have a bunch of sheeple and people that are not doing some critical thinking on their own for themselves, and they just accept everything that's spoon-fed to them. So if you go around today and talk to people, let's say people that don't really inform themselves, don't do research, and basically are followers or sheeple, and you talk to them about things that are going on today, they have no idea, because they're too busy on their iPhone, or they're too busy playing the latest, you know, combat game, you know, video game, or whatever, you know, listening to whatever lyrics that they listen to that just basically encourages them to kill one another in our urban centers, you know, drill music, or whatever have you. And if you're noticing what they've been doing over the past few years, just to illustrate my point, you know, and I've said this on prior podcasts, when I was younger, I was born in 59, so I'm a little bit of an older guy, but I keep my mind very young and sharp. But let's say in the 60s, you had doo-wop, you had rock and roll, you had country music, you had a whole variety of different musics and cultures that people would participate in and music that they would listen to. But if you look at it today, it's basically, and I'm not trying to say this in a good way or bad way, but basically most modern music right now is influenced by rap. And again, that's not good or bad because I listen to rap. If you hear my past episodes, I play Black Moon, I play Wu-Tang. I mean, I like rap music, you know. But you have to look at it critically. Even country music now, they're rapping. So one of the reasons for this is that it makes it much easier for them because really music is another form of media. If you look at it, you know, it's basically media. It's something that you consume, listen to, and it downloads into your thought process, into your psyche, whatever is taking place on that music, whatever the dialogue or the lyrics are in that music. So it makes it much easier for the controlling class to have everybody basically, you know, wearing the same clothes, the same Nikes, you know, Air Force Ones, which everybody wears now, and the same, you know, rap music, and the same thought process, and the same Gucci and Hennessy and everything like that. You know, for the most part, I know in some sections of the country and different places, people are a little bit more independent thinking. I know a few months back, we went down south, to South Carolina, actually. And I didn't notice it as much there. Of course, it's there because they have media. They consume media that we consume. But it was not as imposing. And the people seem to be, oddly enough, a little bit more open-minded over there. Talk to most people today and they're just going to regurgitate back to you whatever the media is downloading into their head. So this really, a lot of this really stems back to this book, The Crowd, A Study of the Popular Mind. Now, they've been planning since God knows when to impose a one world government. You know, I'm not going to start spouting out names because today is not the day for that. But we're just going to get into this right now. One name I will say is Klaus Schwab, a.k.a. Darth Vader. And I'm not trying to be funny or I'm not trying to joke. The dude literally is Darth Vader. Or some type of bootleg Marvel comic villain. So the book, The Crowd, primarily covers crowd psychology. And when you attach to a crowd, your individual identity is lost. And this is the mechanics of how this all plays out. First, they must have the ability to control every facet of the mainstream media. Print, television, social media. That's why you see a lot of people getting shadow banned. I know I myself have been shadow banned probably for the past year and a half to 2 years. I know it for a fact. I am on iTunes, but if you're on iTunes and you look up my podcast, I don't show up. Stitcher, a couple of months ago, my latest episodes don't pop up in some podcast apps. You can't find me. You could find like a limited amount, like my most recent ones, like over the past 6 months or a year, you don't see it. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to drop my information here. My email is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My Instagram is also alphamalebuddhist. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. So if any of you that are on iTunes or have an iPhone, if you want to look it up and if you want to get back to me, let me know. Like if I pop up on iTunes or if I don't, I mean, it would be kind of cool. I know I put this out a couple of months back and a few people did get back to me and say that I wasn't showing up on iTunes. But you can find me, Google me, and I'm ubiquitous. I'm everywhere with my podcast. And my Instagram, as a matter of fact, I have some really, really good IGTV videos. Some of them are 15 minutes, some of them are an hour. Really informative, really a fast track to clean the crap out of your ears and your eyes and wake up to who you really are, to who you actually are. And you're not a crowd or part of a crowd or an extension of the mainstream media. Understand that you were given a purpose. You were put in for a purpose. God created you for a purpose. And that purpose is to provide and protect your family, okay, primarily. And then once that's achieved, then whatever, you know, whatever other things that you're going to do that are going to be God glorifying. So we'll continue on. The next thing that the media does is they do everything that they can to get your attention by appealing to your lowest chakra, to the lowest level, the lowest common denominator of humanity, which is fear, sex, money, greed, violence. The purpose of this is to slowly herd the individuals into the same group in order to think and act and react and consume and regurgitate whatever the mainstream media is downloading into them. So they're literally sheeple, puppets, mindless drones. Instead of working to make honey, they get on that hamster wheel to generate taxes to give to the government, to generate taxes to give their attention, and to go in strange lands to kill people that we've never seen before with our military. So I'll leave that there too. That's a whole different podcast. Their main goal is to stop the individual from thinking for themselves. And they subtly do this without you even being aware of it. And this is really evidenced today by the complete demoralization of the planet. Look up Yuri Bezmenov. He was a former KGB, Russian KGB agent who defected to the U.S. And he did an interview with an author by the name of G. Edward Griffith, who wrote the book The Creature from Jekyll Island, which covers the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank back in 1913, where the Federal Reserve Bank was granted the ability to just create money out of thin air. Not only create money out of thin air, but any money from 1913 up until today was created by the Federal Reserve Bank and loaned out to the United States at interest. So today, money equals debt. Money is created out of debt. If all debt was paid off in the United States, there would be no more money. Okay? I know it's a little bit of a complicated topic, or somewhat complicated, but you should, again, I have a couple of episodes on that, so you can go back into my archive and see that. But the author, G. Edward Griffith, it's on YouTube, I believe, if they didn't already take it down, because they're taking down so many things right now. But again, I have them in my archive, so you can see them. Yuri Bezmenov, when he was interviewed by G. Edward Griffith, broke down the whole strategy of the demoralization, subversion, you know, educational system, and then normalization. It gets a little bit involved, but it's real facts, and you can see it plainly right there, the way Yuri breaks it down. That interview really blew my mind. So I have a question. When did it become acceptable in our schools and education system to teach third graders to masturbate, or five-year-old boys to perform as strippers on a catwalk while adults cheer and jeer and Google at them, tossing money at them? 5 and 6-year-old boys, just fully decked out like hookers with wigs and heels and just so ungodly. Just a whole hypersexualized entertainment, which is satanic. When did it become acceptable to have a little child? And if you notice, most of these are boys, because what they want to do is they want to emasculate the whole country. But when did it become acceptable to have a little child start a gender reassignment hormone therapy before he can even read and write? And just for you people who are technically oriented, an adult doesn't really become an adult until the frontal cortex is developed, which is the front part of the brain, which is the most evolved part of the brain. And that starts taking place at around 25, 26 years old. So you're talking about a 6-year-old that really should be playing with his G.I. Joes or Legos or something like that. And they're pushing him into making a decision that's going to destroy the rest of his life. Now, if you're an adult and you make that choice, you're 18 years old, that's up to you. When did it become acceptable to have men actually step into an MMA ring and fight women because he did, you know, he decided that his identity or his gender, because they're saying that there's, you know, 40 genders or LGBTQ. And I'm not against gay people or whatever. Again, I want to make that clear. That's your life choice, what you make, what you want to do for yourself. But do not impose that on other people, okay? But in sports, you'll have this swimmer, I forget his name, but he's a dude. He's a big, strong dude, and he's competing against women, and he's crushing them. And, you know, women, let's say it's your daughter and she's been training her whole life in the swimming events and everything like that. And then she comes up to a quarterfinal or something like that. And then she gets knocked out by a natural born man who has denser bone structure, who has testosterone, who has larger lung capacity. I mean, it's a clear fact. They're trying to say, you know, the question is, what is a woman? They asked this new Supreme Court judge, what is a woman? And she says, I don't know. I mean, there's two genders, okay? There's two genders. How you choose to exercise your gender and your life choices is up to you. But again, don't impose that on me, because what they're doing is that they're trying to create chaos and confusion so people don't even know where they stand. And again, this is part of this whole crowd control. You know, you have, I forget the name of the MMA fighter, but there was a guy who was an MMA fighter, and he wasn't doing that well, so he wanted to kick it up a notch, so he identified as a woman, and then he started fighting women in MMA fights against women, and he was knocking them out and breaking their orbital bones. Imagine if that was your daughter, okay? You know, women need to have their own sports to compete in, because that's the other side of the divine, masculine and feminine, and that's the woman, and they need to be able to express, you know, their talents and whatever they do without having to compete against men or whatever it is. I mean, honestly, for those of you who listen to this, is, oh my God, how he's so, then don't listen to the podcast. This that's why the title of my podcast is Alpha Male Buddhist. The alpha male is as God designated us to be here on earth, to protect our family, to provide, and to be the strength. And then the Buddhist part of it is the philosophical part. You know, I say I'm Buddhist or whatever. I believe in Buddhist principles. I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Savior. But I also really enjoy, and these Buddhist principles, all in addition to Jesus and the Bible, Buddhism has had a real profound, and Taoism and Zen Buddhism and all of these different philosophies, the Upanishads and Hinduism, has influenced me too in a positive way, because the problem with a lot of people is when they look at a source of information or a person or a talk, and they agree with 99% of what is being said, but they disagree with one, they're going to dismiss all of it. And that's really ignorance, and that's a sign of ignorance. Aristotle once said that the sign of a highly intelligent person is the ability to entertain two opposing thoughts without being conflicted, right? And I use the analogy of a lock, cylinder, and a key, because they're opposing, because the lock is locked and the key is what locks it or opens it. But within the problem, which is the lock cylinder, within that problem is the image of the solution, which is the image of the key. You got to kind of try to figure that one out. It's not that complicated, but again, the lock cylinder, okay, not the key, but the cylinder itself has the image of the key. So within the problem lies the solution, right? So you have to be able to entertain opposing things and process them, and don't just discard it, because you can find tremendous answers. Even when you argue with an enemy, they might say some random statement or something, and you'll catch a little glimmer of knowledge out of it, you know, if you're able to critically think about that, you know? Something to think about. So let me move on. When did it become acceptable to administer herpes, Pamplona virus vaccine to a child just moments after they're born, right? And then to continue to administer vaccines to these children, probably up to 30 or 40 vaccines by the time they are fully immunized by the age of whatever it is, 12 years old or whatever. But then you got to continue with these inoculations that these companies want to do that are actually altering people's DNA. You know, just the way that they're doing it with the GMO foods, the genetically modified organisms or food, they're doing it to humans. And what these vaccines are doing is they're modifying the DNA and destroying our natural immune system, so that down the road you'll only be able to be protected from infections and sickness by being administered vaccines by these pharmaceutical companies, so they can make a profit and so they can depopulate the whole planet. So I don't want to freak people out. If you got a vaccine or whatever like that, you know, do what you do, but don't do that anymore. Take care of yourself and try. I'm a firm believer in epigenetics, and what epigenetics dictates is that you have the ability to change your own body through your thought process and through your emotional state. There's a book by The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. Again, that book blew me away. I read it about 10 years ago, and it gets into this very, very deeply, the placebo effect and the nocebo effect and such. So, in other words, if a person is in a state of stress and you're drumming down on them that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and you're just projecting darkness onto them, then it's not going to be good for the physiology, as opposed to a person that feels that they're in a safe environment and you know, they're gonna do well and they're gonna flourish, okay? And this kind of taps into, I was listening to another talker, he's on YouTube, his name is Bill Donahue, who I had on my last episode, and he gets into, and I know I'm all over the place, but that's what I do. He gets into the photon and how the photon of light, which is, again, singular. It's the only thing in all of existence that's singular. Everything in creation is dualistic because it has a negative and positive charge. Proton and electron, negative and positive, so it's dualistic. One thing in all of creation is singular, and that's a photon of light, okay? So, in essence, that single photon of light supports all of creation through photosynthesis. So, the singular and the smallest little thing supports all, and all would die without that one singular, smallest little photon of light. So, I was listening to Bill Donahue, and I think I had it on my last talk, in my last episode, that in plants you have, I believe it's chlorophyll, that processes that photon of light into food and energy. In a human, it's our, I believe it's our hemoglobin. So in a human, hemoglobins absorb the photons of light, and in a plant, it's the chlorophyll and chloroplast, I believe, which clearly demonstrates that there's an intelligence in life. If you look at the DNA, RNA, the dinucleic acid, and the recombinant nucleic acid, which creates the genetic spiral, it's clear that that's an intelligence right there. So you should go back and listen to the episode 180 where Bill Donahue breaks this down so succinctly and so beautifully. It's mind-blowing. So back on the vaccines, there's a TV show host, who I think he's got an internet show, and his name is Del Bigtree, and he really, really gets into this. He produced a movie that's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-E-D, Vaxxed. Amazing. Find all of these things are becoming much and much harder to find because they're being shadow banned or deleted or whatever, covered up. But you want to, especially if you have kids, you want to see that movie Vaxxed. It shows you really what's going on right now and what their real plans are. Has a lot to do with autism and a child receiving the MMR vaccines, measles, mumps, and rubella, receiving it prior to, I think, 18 months. There's such a high probability that they'll get autism. It's crazy. And it's crazy because, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, autism was probably found in 1 in 10,000 kids. Now I think it's in 1 in every 75 or something. Some form of autism. Do your research. Do your job. So just to illustrate a couple of different points with this crowd think and this crowd mentality that they want to have everybody on. If you look deeply into it, the Chinese, Chairman Mao's communist Chinese revolution, the first thing they did was they confiscated all of the firearms. And within a couple of years, probably 60 to 70 million people were wiped out. Some people say as high as 100 million people. And the communist choice way to euthanize people, to kill masses of people, is starvation. Nice guys, right? Exactly the same thing in the Russian Revolution. They confiscated everyone's guns. And right after that, they, you know, probably 100 million people were killed and wiped out in that whole Bolshevik Revolution. And again, most of them through starvation. The Holodomor, which was in Ukraine and such. Again, do your research. I actually do have some of that in some of my prior podcasts too. So be good to do your research on that. That's why they're pushing for so much socialism. What they're doing is they're taking printing money. The Fed is just printing money like crazy. If I'm not mistaken, 60% or 70% of all the money ever created was created in the last 2 years. I don't know how true that is, but I think it is. And you can see it through the inflation. But what they do, really, inflation is a hidden tax. And what they're doing is that they're putting you in a position where you're going to have to choose to either eat or pay your rent or your mortgage. And what they're going to do is they're going to come out with this universal basic income, you know, a Fed coin or something like that. And it's going to get to the point that without that, you're not going to be able to survive. You're not going to be able to eat. So what they're going to do is, in order for you to get this funding, this money, this universal basic income, you're going to have a chip inserted in you. And if they don't like what you're saying or thinking or doing or talking to, they're going to cut off your chip and you'll starve. There's an author that said he was talking to one of the Rothschilds. His name is Aaron Russo. And he kind of broke this whole thing down to him. This is maybe 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Aaron Russo, check that out. I know Alex Jones talks about, I could take or leave Alex Jones. Some of what he says is good, and some, I think he's controlled opposition, but that's for a different day. I'm more into like Bill Cooper and such. So now once they have the whole population into a crowd, the next thing that they try to do is they try to create the thing that's identity, so that people can identify in different ways, whether by gender, by race, by creed, by color, by economic class. And the reason for this is that they create these different identities so that they can have these different identity groups fighting and conflicting with one another, so they can't see the puppet strings that are controlling them. You gotta listen very, very carefully. Put down your iPhone, put down your Call of Duty, put down whatever thing is taking attention away of what you need to be doing to inform yourself. The thing is, people, they're so scared to be rejected by the crowd, to not have the approval of the crowd, to be disliked by the crowd. You know what I mean? When what you need to be doing is worrying more about yourself and the actions that you need to take to be self-fulfilled, to be self-realized, okay? More on a spiritual plane, not on a money plane. And it's very tricky and it's very, very subtle. And people, and I'm noticing, again, you know, when I was younger, you know, you could have real conversations with people, but the minute you talk to somebody now, they get triggered, and they need a safe space, and everybody gets a trophy, and all of this is done on purpose, because the only way that you're going to grow is through adversity, through hard work, through challenges, through pushing, through resistance. That's where really growth comes from. And as a matter of fact, I was watching a video the other day on After School Channel, After SKOOL on YouTube. Amazing channel. They get into Bruce Lipton and a lot of different content providers. But they were talking about how dopamine, and dopamine is what makes you feel good and makes you feel happy and fulfilled. But they say what happens is there's like two categories of people. You have people that they'll sit in a chair and eat Doritos or naked in a bee bag eating, you know, garlic chips and watching porn or whatever they do. And I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just kind of putting the information out there. You take out of it what you need. But what, in essence, what happens is they're going to get their dopamine from the cheesecake and the potato chips and the Call of Duty or whatever they're doing. But what happens is over time, little by little, the dopamine is getting reduced and reduced because they're not really doing anything. It's just something that is being inserted into their psyche, something that they're consuming as opposed to earning. That's the one person. Now you have another person that, let's say they're building a fence or repairing a car. While they're going through that struggle and that resistance and that hard time, and I guess to some degree suffering in a sense because it's very difficult, once that's done and they're finished, they're going to have an amazing dopamine drop for probably the next 5 or 6 hours as a result of meeting that resistance and doing what they needed to do, getting the car repaired. And they're going to get real, not joy or not happiness, but fulfillment from what they've done because they've earned it. And again, like amazing amounts of dopamine. And that just continues on forward and forward. It doesn't diminish because as long as you're working hard and being productive and pushing through resistance and struggle, you're going to have that real fulfillment in your life. And you're going to find that your life is going to take a really drastic change for the upside, you know. And you're going to worry less about what people think about you, what people say about you, or whatever sneakers you wear. I know I dwell on sneakers, but today, like, sneakers are such a, you know, they got this thing called sneakerheads. People are so much into sneakers and brand names and stuff like that, which is retarded. If you want to get a couple of nice little things to go out, you know, your wife, you know, you want to go out with your wife and wear your little Louis Vuitton shoes or whatever, that's great, that's fine. But don't, you know, everything within reason. And I talk about this thing of point of diminishing returns. You know, that's another subject, but look it up, point of diminishing returns. I'm talking to you men out there, and women too. Don't be a sheep. Be a wolf. Be a lion. Be a warrior. Be a warrior for your family. Provide for your family. Love your family. Take care of them. Teach them. Teach your son to be a God-fearing man, or of whatever religion that you're in, you know, to live by principles and to live by ethics. You know, read like pre-Socratic philosophers. I've been reading up on Pythagoras, who was a pre-Socratic philosopher who really influenced Plato and such. This guy, Pythagoras, was around. And actually, he wrote that Pythagoras and Theorem or whatever that is, some kind of mathematical thing with the triangle. He was obsessed with triangles. So he was a mathematician and a pre-Socratic philosopher. He was a genius. And look him up on YouTube. Check him out. Guy was really, you know, really, really influential, you know, to in ancient Greece. We all know that a lot of ancient Greece and ancient Egypt, you know, they kind of mesh together, you know. So in my view, don't really go to college and waste your money and learn how to do basket weaving or gender studies or something like that. Learn a real trade. And as a matter of fact, you really don't even have to go to school. You can get on YouTube and learn how to be a diesel mechanic or an auto mechanic. You can learn how to be a welder, a plumber, to learn a trade, to be a computer programmer. To some of you people that want to really advance your career because everything is becoming computerized, I suggest that you go on YouTube. There's a program that's called Microsoft Access, and it's a database, SQL, SQL. You know, you get into tables and queries. It sounds complicated, but if you go on there, it's... You can learn Microsoft, and it'll help you with everything. It's part of the micro, and this is not an advertisement for them because that's owned by Bill Gates. I hate Bill Gates, but I love his Microsoft Access program. The power of if you've played around with Excel, it's kind of Excel up on the next level because it's an actual database, and you can develop a table, and the table is, let's say, first name, last name, city, state, zip, phone number. You know, these are fields. And then what you're able to do is you're able to retrieve or do sorts and do reports on the data that's in there. But you can, in Microsoft Access, you can start out very, very... The program, I think, costs $200, but you could probably get it bootleg somewhere. Whatever. I didn't say that. You can start from very simple. Go on YouTube, and there's so many channels. You know, find one that you really resonate the way the guy teaches and see if you can get into it, you know? SQL, the SQL that I learned 30 years ago is still relevant today. I'm still writing programs and writing code, and it's the same exact way that it was executed back 30 years ago. It hasn't changed. This whole internet security and all that stuff like that changes on a year-to-year basis. The certifications change and all the protocols and all of that, HTTP, all of that stuff changes. But Access and SQL is the same. That's why it's a really good thing to learn. So, again, you start out with tables, and then you get into queries and forms and relating tables. But take it at your own pace, because what happens is, for me, it became... I never played video games. I stopped playing video games with Sonic 2 with my son. You know, I used to play it with him, and I was okay with it. And there was like 5 buttons or 4 buttons on the controller. Now there's 20 buttons. That's when I stopped doing it. But for me, what became my video game was Microsoft Access, because I said to myself, I could be playing video games for days, years, for my whole life, and I'm not going to get anything out of it. But this video game, Microsoft Access, I can make all types of things happen, and I get paid, and it changed my life. It changed my whole career. It accelerated everything about me, and it took me out of the ghetto, to be honest with you. I used to sit up at night. Sometimes I would spend the whole night, and there was no internet then. This is from books. QUE series of books. And there was one specific one. It was called The Access Bible. And man, did I used to go through that book and study and stay up all night and teaching myself and learning. I talk about this on older podcasts, but food for thought, man. Accelerate your career and do things that are going to benefit you, you know? And get it to the point that, you know, if you get good with this and you might want to take a little vacation or get your wife a Louis Vuitton bag or something. You know, I'm not totally against all of it, but I mean, again, within reason, point of diminishing returns. You'll have the ability to do that because it, really people, like right now, Python and Java, that stuff is kind of hard. I'll be honest with you. I looked at it and I just walked away. But that Microsoft Access is very, very special. Take a good look into that. And if you don't want to do that, then mess with Excel, you know, and doing that type of stuff. Excel is kind of one-dimensional, it's kind of flat. But again, it's very powerful, man, and it could really accelerate your career. Maximize the gift that God gave you, you know? So now the last point that I want to go over, one of the things that they're doing right now, and I noticed it, and I don't want to trigger anybody, but I'm going to mention some names and scenarios, and again, if you get triggered, then don't listen to the podcast, you know, go listen to somebody else or whatever, but it would be better if for your own good, and if you absorbed real truth, not necessarily from me, But don't be so triggered, man. Open up your mind and learn what's going on in this world. But what I see that they're doing, I notice that the gas prices are through the roof and food is in shortage and food is going through the roof. What they're doing is they're looking for the villain, for the Darth Vader. And what they're doing is, like Biden and these all of these clowns, what they do is they ask Biden, hey, you know, what the prices and what's going on with the prices? And immediately he blames Vladimir Putin from Russia. They want to put a face on the problem. I know a couple of people that back in the day, I would try to talk sense into them about, not necessarily conspiracy theories, but conspiracy facts, because people do conspire to do bad, to do damage, to hurt other people and to swindle other people. I was talking to a few of my friends and I would say, hey, don't you see this? Don't you see Joe Biden like fondling little kids on video and all of these different, don't you see Hunter Biden smoking crack and I think he had sex with his niece or something like that? These are facts. Okay, all of the corruption in Ukraine, the millions of dollars that they were funneling, billions of dollars that they were funneling to launder out into Ukraine and all that stuff like that. But I would say, hey, don't you see this? And they would say, no, you know, that's wrong because it's Trump's fault. Okay, Trump. So before it was Trump, now that he's not in office, they got to put it on Vladimir Putin. So it's so childish, it's so ridiculous. But the reason the people accept all of this is because they're in that crowd mentality and they're not doing their own thinking. Listen to me carefully, people. Okay? I've rambled on. I don't want to get myself more shadow banned than I already am. And I'm sure that this is definitely not going to help my status as far as that shadow banning. But you know what? Give me a reach out, an email or a DM or whatever it is. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Check out my IGTV that's out there. And I really do want to thank you for listening, and namaste, praise Jesus' name. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My Instagram is Alpha Male Buddhist. And check out my YouTube channel, Alpha Male Buddhist, and that's on YouTube. It is the podcast accompanied with video clips that integrate exactly with the podcast, so it's motivational and inspirational. I also have promotional t-shirts. If you go to my website, alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com, you can see the promotional t-shirts there. Reach out to me. Also, if you have any show notes or any suggestions that you would like to hear on the podcast, just reach out and see if I can get that done. I've been getting some really great emails and feedback from my listeners, which is great. So I want to thank you for listening, and namaste.